you, as we set our gaze on you, Lord, that as you did so many times in the New Testament, Lord, you can bring healing to our lives, healing to our hearts, healing to our bodies, Lord, healing to our souls, Lord, that we would be restored, Lord, as we spend time with you this morning. And Lord, that we would be equipped and ready to go out and share what you have done for us with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. fire. soul, oh, the life in my bones. There is no hesitation in your love and affection, sweetest of all. 'Cause Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. 'Cause all I want is to live within your love, being done by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper, Lord. I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of all I want is to live within your love, being done by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Jesus, and how we adore you, Jesus, how we adore you, Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and how we adore you.
Nativity lavished, the Lord was lavished with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and who knows whatever else, probably sheep, probably everything people could give, they wanted to give to him. But most of all, you know what he wants? He wants a gift of us. He wants, as we sang in that song, all our heart, all our soul, everything that we own. He can have it all. Every part of us. It's easy to give him things sometimes. It's tougher to give him us. All of our will, all of our own agendas, our own desires. But you know, when you give him the gift of us, he returns so much more back into our lives that we can even comprehend it. Can we just sing that one more time? All my love. Know what that means in our lives, everything right now, Lord, you can have it all. Because we know, Lord, if we give you all of us, Lord, you give us yourself in so much fullness and measure. Lord, we surrender our hearts. We surrender our souls. We surrender everything that we own, Lord, to you. Let it be a gift of adoration. Let it be a gift of worship to you, Lord, and where you are glorified, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all of you. You held nothing back. You left your glorious estate in heaven and came as a humble servant of man, yielding your very being to humans, so that we can all stand in this moment as your children, so we could all receive the great gift of God in our lives. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you just join with me and let's just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for being the one that first loved me. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy that was set before you. You endured the cross and you despised the shame, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're now seated at the right hand of the Father on high, constantly making intercession for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are releasing your truth into our life, Lord, so that we can truly live in freedom. In freedom. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greet someone, love on someone, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Good morning, beautiful faces. So it's time for declarations. So if you guys will stand with me and get in the posture to begin to speak over the heart of our house in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to take this in cadence on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Yes, amen. Father, we thank you for all of the favor that you continue to shine upon this house, God, and the things that we're able to do because of your generosity, Father. We just pray, Father, that you would continue to give us divine appointments to show your radical generosity in Jesus' name. Father, that people would be transformed and changed and feel your hope, feel your joy, feel your peace, feel your kindness and your gentleness in this season. Father, we look forward to this season of Advent where we get to look forward to the things that you brought in your coming in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have some announcements. Am I
doing that? Yes, you are. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So I am doing announcements. The first announcement is this coming Saturday at 8:30 is the men's breakfast. And we are so excited because Pastor Willie is coming to speak to the men. Now, this is a pastor that's down in Lower Valley. What a heart after God this man has. And he is so excited. When we saw him this week, he was confirming with Mike, I'm coming right on this Saturday. And he's like, Mike's like, yes, yes, yes. So men, invite your friends. There's always way more than enough food that my husband has to send home with some of y'all extra. So please plan on coming. Bring a friend, a brother, a nephew, whoever, anybody that needs encouragement and just needs the gift of community among men. Okay, so let's do that. That'd be so awesome if you could. The next one is a ladies' Christmas party. Pardon me? I'm sorry, what? Yes. It is next week on Thursday at our house at 602 South 34th Avenue. We are having a women's get together. After the men's breakfast, it'll be that next Thursday. Sorry, thanks for clarifying, baby. Anyway, so we're going to be meeting at my house, and all you need to bring is a snack. We are not doing any kind of gift exchange, none of that, but we are getting together to have fun. So we're going to have games. I have a little something-something for everybody, and this is not... I don't want to exclude anybody. So if you have a toddler or a older child, as long as they don't mind a boring house, because I have no kids and I have no toys. So if you want to bring toys, that'd be great. But please, just let's get together as women and just enjoy the coming Christmas holiday that's going to be the week after, and bring a friend, bring family members. Again, it's a great way to have community with us girls only, right? So let's plan on doing that. Okay, and the next one is our candlelighting service. Now, this is on the 22nd, and it is at 4:30 in the, right? 4:30? Yes, 4:30 in the afternoon, evening. And it's going to be here at the church, but we will not be having a Sunday morning service. This will be our only service that day. So at 4:30, we're going to be doing candle lighting. Are we going to be doing communion as well? Communion, candle lighting, worshiping the Lord, whatever goes along with all of that. So again, please invite your family, invite your friends, invite people that don't have a church body that want to come and just be a part of us for even a day. And that would be wonderful. So again, the 14th is the men's breakfast. The 19th is the women's party. And then the 22nd is for us to get together for our candlelighting communion service. And then I think it's just tithing. Is that correct? Yes. So thank you for giving. It's amazing to me how the Lord gives, not always everything we want, but what we need. He's there for us. And this is our way of saying to him, Lord, you can count on me. We have this beautiful building now. We're thankful to God for it. But it's still, we need help with keeping the lights on and electricity flowing and all the things that go along with that. So just if you've ever thought about tithing and you don't, pray about it. This is not about the church. This is about you and what you want to give to the Lord. And we will be blessed for it. Amen? Yes. Amen.
Come on up. So Miriam goes, oops, oh, hello. Miriam goes in for a procedure, a surgery on the 18th, and Gay goes in for a procedure, surgery. It's minor surgery, but it's still surgery, this coming Wednesday. So whoever is a person of faith and a belief, please come up, and women, you can come lay hands on them, and as I pray and just believe that God's going to be with them and overshadow them and guard their hearts, because you know when you're going into a place where they're going to put you to sleep, sometimes you know something tries to grip your heart, and we're going to believe for faith and confidence and assurance. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, that you have these hearts in your hand, Lord. These lives in your hand, Lord. And Lord, that they can trust you, Lord, with their lives, Lord, and with their future, God. And we just pray right now, Lord, that for Gay, as she goes in for this procedure on her heart, Lord, that you would just give the doctors skill and wisdom beyond their own experience and training, Lord, and that you would guide their hands. And Lord, we pray that the procedure would be successful, Lord, and that she would have less less AFibs and all of that, Lord, that has been plaguing her for so long, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for the healing hand of God to be used by these doctors. And Lord, for Miriam, Lord, right now we pray also for her doctors, God, that you would guide their hands. And Lord, we pray that this would be a successful surgery. There would be no long-term issues, God, anything, Lord, that would cause any kind of discomfort or change of lifestyle, Lord. We pray, God, that strength and vitality would come to both of them, full restoration and healing, Lord, we believe. And we thank you, God, that you do all things well and you're working right now in these women's lives, Lord, to do all things well. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 You're good.
All right, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we face issues in life and things that come up in life, and they're totally unexpected. This week, last Sunday, actually, Caleb Garza ended up going to be with the Lord. And we had his funeral yesterday, had his memorial celebration service on Friday night. You talked about a worship time. But I think if you would have asked him last February, he would have thought just life was normal. That, you know, he had a wonderful family and all of that, and yet it was going to change. But before that change, he gave his heart radically to God. And he, through his love for the Lord, and you know, it says that he is forgiven much, loves much. He loved much. But he didn't just love God, he loved people. And there are many people that came to Christ because of his life in just a short period of time. So realize that we have the gift of today. The Lord's given us today. And we can live all of our full lives that we can for him today. We don't know what tomorrow brings, though. None of us do. And so always be thankful for the day you have and live it as hard as you can for God and to love on others. Amen? Well, this particular message is a little different message. We'll see how it works. I've never done this with PowerPoint on my device because I have notes. You know, normally Pastor Mike has almost no notes other than scriptures, but today, because of the message, I have notes. And well, the message is different. I told you sometimes I get, you know, titles and I just, oh, okay, that's an interesting title. And this was one of them. And I started like kind of studying on it a little bit on Friday and not really knowing where I was going to go with this. But we'll just see what the Lord has. Okay? So guess what the title of the message is? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I think I might have mentioned it last week or mentioned to somebody that I was wondering, when is it good that you can start saying Merry Christmas? You know, what is it like? Because, you know, the all the decorations and all the sales stuff start showing up now in September, you know, and I just don't think it's quite appropriate in September to start saying Merry Christmas. Jesse said, well, you know, they have Christmas in July. I still don't think I could say Merry Christmas in July. You know, maybe celebrate, you know, with somebody who wants to, you know, I don't know what they do in July with Christmas. Do they literally have Christmas in July, or is it more just like going buy decorations and stuff? Holiday movies. Oh, yeah. The commercialism. They're trying to get some more Christmas time in there. Okay. So so I started thinking, okay, Merry Christmas. You know, where is that in the Bible? And And so I thought, well, I can't think of necessarily where Merry Christmas is in the Bible, although I have some scriptures I'll give that I think share a little bit of that thought. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to see what is Merry Christmas? What's the origins of Merry Christmas? And what's the origins of Christmas? I started thinking about that, you know, because, you know, we're Christians and, you know, we kind of just go along with tradition and everything and not always contemplate what we do. And so maybe this will give you guys some ideas of why Christmas is the way it is and why others, some people don't celebrate Christmas. Did you know that some Christian faiths don't celebrate Christmas? And I think we'll see why. So we're going to go over the origins of Christmas. And so I don't know if you guys are aware, but the early church did not celebrate Jesus' birth. It was just something that they didn't do. They did not celebrate Christ's birth. Now, I don't know if it was you know, something that was, you know, just ignored, or if it was just something that wasn't focused on. But, you know, for us, you know, in the Western culture, celebrating Christ's birth is pretty important, isn't it? I mean, it's like probably the second biggest church day of the year is people go to, you know, Christmas Eve services, Christmas services, because it's become more of a focal point. What actually happened is that the early church did, however, celebrate Easter. They were quite focused on the resurrection. And I think being focused on the resurrection is important, because it is the resurrection that really makes us distinct from all other faiths out there. Christ rose from the dead, and when he rose from the dead, he showed himself for over 40 days to up to 500 people at a time. And so the resurrection was part of the big message of the early church. What really happened in the winter months was, let's see, where are we at here? Is that right? Yeah. What really happened in the winter months and what caused us to have this winter celebration was the winter solstice. Does anyone know what the winter solstice is? Most people do. It's coming up in probably 14 days, something like that. It's when we have the shortest amount of light in a day. It's when the sun is furthest from us. It's way down on the other side of the equator. And the winter solstice was a time that there was great celebration. I guess from what I understand, people had the ability to have meat during the winter solstice, because it was when they slaughtered their animals, and it seemed like it was a time of feasting. It wasn't a lot to do outside because it was so cold, so they kind of stayed in and celebrated with each other. So my next question for you is, why December 25th? Because I don't know if you guys know, but most people believe that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Does everybody know that? Yeah, okay, most people do. Yeah, he wasn't born on December 25th. Most people believe that he was either born in the spring or in the fall. You know why? Because the scriptures say that the shepherds were in their fields. And usually the shepherds are in the fields in the spring or in the fall. Some people believe in the spring, and they believe it was probably around, you know, the time of the beginning of the year, because God kind of likes cyclical things, and others believe that it could have been in the fall, around the time of the final harvest. But nobody knows for sure. It's not a date that's been written down anywhere. I don't think it's all that important to God, the exact day that he was born, because he came in the fullness of time, which we'll see. But what ended up happening was that there was a Roman emperor, and his name was... What was his name? What was this Roman emperor's name? Hang on a second. I got to get this going here. Like I said, I haven't done this before. Bear with Pastor Mike. There we go. There was a Roman emperor. His name was Aurelian in 275 AD. And this Roman emperor originally designated December 25th as the Festival of Sol, the sun god. Has anyone ever been heard like, oh, well, December 25th is a pagan holiday? Anybody ever heard that before? That it's not Christmas, it's not Christ's birth, it's a pagan holiday. Well, yes, it was a pagan holiday. It was a holiday that was designated for the sun god. Now, Aurelian was born of humble parents. Aurelian went on to become a great general and finally emperor of Rome. And like I said, in 275 AD, he designated the 25th of December as the day of the sun god. You know, it's interesting that he did make it the sun god. Has anybody ever read Malachi where it says that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings? And you know it's not spelled S-O-N, it's spelled S-U-N. So maybe even when we have this ruler that thought that he was worshiping a sun god, the true Son of God was being worshiped. And so a lot of people consider him the father of Christmas because he designated December 25th. Now, in 336 AD, anybody heard of Constantine? He was one of the first emperors who really became a Christian and started revolutionizing the entire population of Rome to start serving God and worshiping God and Christ. Kind of started making them actually a religious state. And that's when they started implementing, you know, priests and bishops, and they started having authority and rule. But in 336 AD, this Roman emperor Constantine, he's a Christian, declared December 25th to be a day of celebration, not the actual day of his birth, but a day of celebration in honor of Jesus Christ's birth. The Catholic Church established Christmas as a holy day, and it gradually spread throughout Europe. So this day was redeemed. It went from being the date that a sun god was worshipped to a date the Son of God was worshipped. So if we look here in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, we see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Outside what? Outside the faith, redeeming the time. I look at what Constantine, I didn't show you the verses. I believe that what Constantine did was actually make it so that there was a redeeming of that date. Has anybody ever come up to like October 31st and like, oh man, I don't want to have my kids necessarily go out and, you know, with all the craziness. Now, some people do. Some people, you know, have their kids go out and trick or treat and go to houses and stuff. But others feel that, you know, it's a day of the dead. It's a day when, you know, Satan's having his kingdom, you know, glorified. But, you know, we've done it before as a church. We had an alternative that kids could come to and that families could come to. We did trunk or treat. Some people thought, well, you're still focusing on the day. What I looked at it when we did it was that we were redeeming the time. We were saying, you know, this is a day that kids want to go do something. Let's give them an opportunity to have something else to do. And so I believe that was probably what the emperor of Rome, Constantine, wanted to say. Instead of having people focus on the sun god, let's have them focus on the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Okay, so in the Middle Ages, Christmas kind of takes a weird turn. In the Middle Ages, on Christmas, believers attended church. That sounds good, right? They attended church. Then afterwards, they celebrated ruckusly in a drunken carnival-like atmosphere, similar to today's Mardi Gras. Can you believe that? Well, part of that sun god worship was all part of that. What they did when they did the sun god worship and the solstice worship, they partied hard. And so it worked its way into the church. It says it was like an atmosphere similar to today's Mardi Gras. Each year, a beggar or student would be crowned the Lord of Misrule,
and eager celebrants played the part of his subjects, the poor would go to the house of the riches and demand their best food and drink. If owners failed to comply, the visitors would most likely terrorize them with mischief. Christmas became the time of year when the upper classes could repay their real or imagined debt to society by entertaining less fortunate citizens. Doesn't sound like the Christmas that we have now, does it? Can you imagine that, where people are going to church, worshiping God, doing whatever, and then going out and partying? I mean, partying hard, too, like Mardi Gras. Has anybody ever seen Mardi Gras? I mean, it can be crazy. Has anybody ever been to Mardi Gras? Anyone here? No one, huh? Okay. I've just seen it before and thought, wow, that is an intense experience. I've been to New Orleans, and just during regular times, New Orleans is pretty crazy. So I really believe it was because of all this. Guess what? They canceled Christmas. And it wasn't because of the Grinch. It wasn't because, he had stole all the presents and all the food from the town. They canceled Christmas. The Puritans did. They canceled it. The celebration of Christmas was significantly impacted by the Puritan movement in the 17th century Europe and America. In England, Oliver Cromwell and his Puritan forces canceled Christmas from 1645 until the restoration of Charles II in 1660. Similarly, in early America, the Pilgrims and other Puritan settlers rejected Christmas, with Boston even outlawing its celebration from 1659 to 1681. Christmas remained unpopular in America until the American Revolution, and it wasn't declared a federal holiday until June 26, 1870. Individuals, get this, would be charged 5 shillings for breaking the law of celebrating Christmas. I discovered that's 2 to 3 days of work for a man or a woman. So it was an expensive fine. But can you imagine? All of a sudden, if we would receive news, Christmas is canceled. Now everybody thinks, well, that would never happen. I mean, Christmas is, always happens. Well, the Puritans and the individuals who were the Pilgrims believed that the way that it was being celebrated wasn't glorifying God, because it became a time of revelry instead of a time of family, a time of sharing lives and sharing commitment to each other. The gift of giving. So this was what kind of started it all. I wanted to know, what is the origin of the phrase Merry Christmas? The first recorded use of the phrase Merry Christmas was in 1534. The origin phrase Merry Christmas is an interesting journey through linguistics and cultural history. The word Merry itself comes from the Old English Merige, meaning pleasant or agreeable. Initially, it didn't have the specific festive connotations we associate with it now. The first recorded use of the phrase Merry Christmas was in 1534 in a letter written by John Fisher, the Bishop of Rochester, to Thomas Cromwell, the chief advisor to King Henry VIII. The letter included the phrase Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. John Fisher was in prison at that time, and he was writing to Cromwell, who was close to the king, and was communicating to him that he needed things in prison, and at the very end of it, he told him Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And that's kind of where the phrase started, was first written down. Then, however, as things go sometimes, it was not until the 18th century that the phrase Merry Christmas became widely used. The phrase gained popularity through the writings and authors like Samuel Johnson and Charles Dickens, who helped to popularize the idea of Christmas as a time of joy, giving, and celebration. Charles Dickens, anybody know what Charles Dickens wrote? A Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol. And when he wrote it, very many times throughout the book, he said, Merry Christmas. And after that, it caught on. It was quite a substantial saying after that point.
However, the United States, the phrase Merry Christmas gained popularity not really until the mid-19th century, particularly through the influence of German immigrants who brought their own Christmas traditions with them. That's where the tree came, the Yuletide carols. A lot of that came from Germany. The phrase was also popularized through the writings of American authors like Washington Irving and Clement Clark Moore, who helped to shape the modern American concept of Christmas. So there you go. You know where Christmas came from. Now, this is a time of year that we all have, you know, like preconceived ideas, but I kind of wanted to give you some other information that I think for me was enlightening because I didn't know this. So has anybody ever seen the term Merry Xmas? You know, they're taking Christ out of Christmas. Anybody think that? Yeah. Going through the store, it's like, there's no Christ. What's going on? Merry Xmas? And I mean, I was like offended. Anybody else get offended? Yeah, because they're taking Christ out of Christmas. We had some dear friends, and they were so offended that they protested. They went on the streets with signs that said Merry Christmas and had this kind of a symbol. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get you guys that. Taking Christ out of Christmas. But they had this symbol, this, you know, like the stop symbol over Merry Xmas, and they were trying to get people to realize that Christ is the reason for the season. Now, I don't know if stores or individuals who use Merry Xmas were realizing what they were doing, but God did. Even though we all thought Christ was being taken out of Christmas, it wasn't. The Greek letter X, or chai, became associated with Christ due to its use as an abbreviation for Christos in Greek, which means Christ. The practice dates back to early Christianity era when Greek-speaking Christians used X as a symbol for Christ. So even if individuals were thinking they were taking Christ out of Christmas, they weren't. They were actually going back to an older style of the way that the word Christ was being communicated. You know, I don't know if you guys ever like get tired of signing your name and how like, oh, it takes a long time to sign my name. And as you get older, maybe your signature gets, you know, less and less. My dad's now is just like, it's like a swipe. That's all he wants, just a swipe, because he has sometimes trouble with his hand, so he just swipes. So what people did to shorten the word Christ, they would do an X, and I guess they would do a P to mean Jesus Christ. And so this is the actual truth about Merry Xmas. When you see it, they're not taking Christ out of Christmas. It's actually the older way that it was communicated. The symbol chai and rho P became a recognized shorthand of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said earlier, some Christian groups, they don't celebrate Christmas. And you know why? It's because of the things that I've been talking about. They just say, we're not going to, even though it's been changed, we're not going to celebrate on a day that wasn't ever specified in the Bible. It wasn't ever, you know, said, hey, let's, you know, in the New Testament, let's worship God on this day. Easter is mentioned, resurrection's mentioned. I don't know if it actually even talks about Resurrection Sunday in the Bible specifically about worshiping the Lord then. That probably came later. As I've said many times, I believe that Resurrection Day, as well as Christmas, can be every day. And that's what some of the early believers in the 1800s, they were called, I think they weren't Puritans, but they were Quakers. They believed that every day is holy. Every day is the day of the Lord. And so to have one day special over another, they didn't focus on that. Another group, they believe that there is no biblical evidence for December 25th as Jesus' date of birth, so they don't celebrate it. There's other groups that believe that they reject Christmas, citing its idolatrous and its background and lack of biblical basis. So when we hear people say, oh, I'm not celebrating Christmas, it's easy sometimes to think, well, why? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you celebrating the Lord's birth? Well, they have reasons. And I want to give you a verse that I think might just help you not only with this, but with many other things. It might actually give you an idea of how you can actually focus on other people's beliefs and not judge them as much. This is in Romans 14, 5-6. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. What is this saying? Well, I have a saying, and I believe it's biblical, is that we need to do everything to the integrity of our heart. What does that mean? It means that you shouldn't do something that's going against your conscience. And that's what Paul's saying here. Let each one be convinced in their own mind. And so if there's individuals who don't want to celebrate, or maybe it's just part of certain things, they don't want to do a Christmas tree because of what a Christmas tree represents. Or they don't want to do, you know, the whatever it may be associated with Christmas. They choose not to do that because in their heart, they believe that they're giving allegiance to a pagan worship, then for them, they need to abstain. And for those who feel I can do everything, it's like people who can take their kids trick-or-treating and still feel fine. That's in their own heart. And so we need to realize that we can't always be, and I know sometimes people judge us because we celebrate Christmas and we have Christmas events and they say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. You know, that's not God's way. You know, God did not make a focus of December 25th. So what am I saying here? Don't judge another man's heart. Don't judge another man's way of worshiping God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's get to the reason for the season. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Joy to the world. So what does this mean, joy to the world? It means that the world that is in a state of brokenness, in a state of total distress and fallen from God's greatness because of what? Because of what happened in the garden, because of all our behaviors for thousands of years. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. A reason to say Merry Christmas. A reason to say Merry Christmas. Not just a tradition. Not just communicating to somebody something because it's the time of season to say it. A reason to say it because there's a reason to have a Merry Christmas. Because the Lord has come. And when he came in such a way that the world was brought back into him, into his presence, into his love. In Luke 2:8-11, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. To me, this expression that the angel declares is reason to celebrate the day of his birth. Amen. That I don't care if the early church didn't do it. You know, they were focused on other things. For us, it's a day to remember the Lord has come. The Lord has come not only to be a baby in a manger, but to be a Savior on the cross. I believe that, as I've said many times, Jesus was born to die. You know, most of us are born to live, right? We think, oh, born to have a life. But Jesus, full destiny, he was born to die for you and I. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Then in Galatians 4:5, it says this. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons in the fullness of time. I believe that saying that in a certain date, at a certain time, Jesus came. Another reason to celebrate his birth. Even though it may not be the day, we're saying, Lord, this is the day we choose to honor you. This is the day that we choose to say, we want to acknowledge that you came, and you came to bring joy to the world. You came to bring us into a place as adoption as sons. Yeah, Christmas does have an odd background. But the day of Jesus' birth was a momentous time for mankind. And it's a time for us to realize that when we say Merry Christmas, and when Merry Christmas is said to us, that much more is going on than just a traditional expression. I'm going to leave you with this. And maybe you guys can think of this. Maybe you can put this up in your house. Because when I saw the cross, I thought, oh, the cross, the X, that's representing Christ. Oh, sorry, thank you. Neither was that verse. Neither were the last two verses. Sorry, I'm changing it on mine. I'm not changing it on yours. There we go. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And I know it's easy this time of year to focus on Jesus as the baby. And Jesus is the one in the manger. We do a manger scene. We do a scene of the wise men coming and the shepherds. And it's easy to focus on that. But I want to make sure that we don't take the cross out of Christmas. Because without the cross, Christmas doesn't mean a thing. Without Jesus dying on the cross for you and I, to the place where we have right relationship with God once again, Christmas is just another day. It might as well be for the Son God's soul. But because of the cross, because of the redemptive power of the cross, and because of the love of God which was demonstrated through Christ on the cross, Christmas can mean much more to us. I remember my first Christmas as a Christian. Before that, you know, it was always, oh, the presents. I'm opening the presents in the back of the house, you know, finding them. Even before they were wrapped, certain time of year, I'd start looking. I was terrible. It's terrible, guys. Or I could get to the place where I could unwrap a present, rewrap it. No one ever knew. I was terrible. It was awful. But my first Christmas as a Christian, I really didn't care about presents. I wasn't worried about, you know, all the hubbub and all that of Christmas. I mean, I'd buy some gifts for people, but all of a sudden, Jesus' birth and the celebration that we have celebrated for, you know, 20 years of my life, all of a sudden made sense. And a gratitude came to my heart. And I wasn't, you know, doctrinally deep or anything. I just knew that he saved me. And because he came, he saved me. Because he came, I had a chance for a new life. Now, it's been many years since I've been saved. I'm going to say how many it is now because it's getting way up there. As I am too. But I will say this. Let's not let the busyness of the season, let's not let the financial drain that it does on us, let's not let the conflicts that we have in relationships with family and stuff during this time of year take the cross out of Christmas. Let's be lovers of God and lovers of people during this time of year. Amen. Lord, I just pray right now that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, celebrate this Christmas, Lord, with fresh eyes.
with a fresh heart, Lord, of what you have done for us, what you have accomplished for us, Lord, through your birth. That you weren't just a baby in the manger, Lord, but that you were the God of gods brought here, Lord, to save us from every single work of the enemy, from every lie of the enemy, from every trap of the enemy. You were brought, Lord, to bring us to a place of right relationship with the Father and to have a home in heaven in the future. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've done in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the future. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for loving me. Loving me and showing your love, Lord, by coming and dying for me. Of heaven. Merry Christmas, right? Touch of heaven. Heaven came and touched ground
lived among us. But then he left heaven with us through the Holy Spirit. Go and be heaven on earth. Go and be someone that brings Christmas joy and love to others. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Have a great day.